Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah! It is a Wednesday, a well-rested, glorious, sunny in Los Angeles Wednesday, and this show is called The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. What a pleasure it is to have you joining us today. I can tell from our ratings, football's back.
It is.
Took a glance at the last couple days. Oh, my Lord.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us, America.
Thank you, America. So last night, Joy, I was watching Hard Knocks.
Yes, same.
And then the Dodgers played the Pirates, and I found myself flipping back and forth because Hard Knocks was boring. And that's actually great news for the Dallas Cowboys. You're officially boring. You're a boring team. You ever have somebody in your family? Think about your family for a second. You're driving around listening to me. You're watching me on TV. Anybody in your family that's always got a lot of drama? They the most successful people in your family? There's a name for people that don't have a lot of drama. It's called successful people. Successful people tend to have smarter life habits, better life habits. They can see problems, dilemmas before they happen. And I watch the Cowboys now and Dak's a grown-up, and Amari Cooper's a grown-up, and DeMarcus Lawrence, I watch the show, looks like a grown-up, and Zach Martin's a grown-up, and Tyron Smith's a grown-up, and Jalen Smith's a boring. The Kansas City Chiefs, for all their stars, are remarkably quiet. Patrick Mahomes goes home to his beautiful wife and child, has dinner, and watches film. The loudest cowboy in the last several years was Zeke. Remember those first couple years, came out of college? Ugh. It was a tire fire. There was something every week. And now he's really matured. Remember Dez Bryant? He never did. Tim Duncan in the Spurs dynasty? That lasted for 15 years. Brady's dynasty in New England? That lasted for almost 20. You know what? They never were noisy. You start looking around this league, the Steelers in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s, most of my life, the Pittsburgh Steelers were the franchise of note. Formidable, blue-collar, IBM. And then about 5 years ago, the Steelers got, I don't know if you noticed, really noisy. And they've never recovered. You know who isn't? Shh. Buffalo is quiet. Kansas City for their stars. I don't hear much. Baltimore? Lamar Jackson, I see him occasionally get off that jet ski. That's about it. It's about all I hear. Ozzie Newsome's been one of the best general managers and executives in this league for 25, 30 years. I don't know if I've ever heard him talk. LA Rams, Joy and I are here. It's amazing. They're in Los Angeles. They might as well be in Jacksonville. You have to squeeze information out of Aaron Donald. You never hear about them. They're never in trouble. In fact, they brought in a loud guy, Jalen Ramsey, who once brought a Brinks truck to a Jags practice. Even he's pretty quiet now. I've watched this show, Hard Knocks, for years. The two loudest teams were Hugh Jackson's Browns and Rex Ryan's Jets. How did that end up? Folks, the only news Tampa's made this offseason, hey, we re-signed all our star players. I want to congratulate the Cowboys for graduating to boring and adulthood. It's a good sign. In fact, the loudest Cowboys, Jerry Jones, the crazy owner. I swear to God, he's the only one making noise anymore. Herd brought to you by Jersey Mike's, be a sub above. So this is interesting. Jamal Adams, middle of our show yesterday, has agreed to a contract for the Seahawks. So let's start. It's a very positive show. Let's start with the good news. Jamal Adams is great, and now he's well compensated. And that gives Seattle five great players, either in their prime or darn close to it. Russell Wilson, Jamal Adams, Dwayne Brown, Bobby Wagner, DK Metcalf. I've always said in the NBA, you got to have at least two great players in their prime to win a championship. Really, really good players. Ideally, if you get three, like KD, Steph, and Clay, you've got a dynasty. But if you have two great players in their prime, that's a championship team. And in the NFL, you need like five minimum, hopefully six. You know, Kansas City may have seven. Well, then you're favored to win the Super Bowl. So that's the good news. You look around the NFL, the organizations right now, they have at least five, hopefully six great players. It's Tampa Bay. It's Baltimore. It's Kansas City. You know, it's the 49ers. It's now the Seahawks. It's Green Bay. Now, I've always said, once you get great, you should take all the money you can. All the money you can, your first two contracts. But I do think Russell Wilson will have a decision to make. And I know his wife isn't Giselle. And I know, like Aaron Rodgers, maybe he doesn't have the big State Farm commercial. But there are times in life that money is not the most important thing. I'll give you an example. Transportation. Just spend the money on a car. You want your car breaking down? Want to be late to that big meeting? You want to get the label at work? Yeah, Bob's undependable. Car's always breaking down. Just pay for the car. Just have reliable transportation. By the way, you'll lose money on it. Cars are a depreciating asset. Houses aren't. Boats actually don't lose their value over time, but cars do. You drive it off the lot, it's worth 30% less. Take the loss. It's worth losing money. You do not want to be an undependable person at work. You don't want to be late to a big wedding. You don't want to be late to work. You don't want to be late to a meeting. You don't want to be late to a client. You don't want to be late to pick up your kids. You don't want to be late to put your kids in a recital or practice. Lose money on that. And it's very interesting. I think Russell Wilson, after this year, has to start graduating to a different class. So I've always believed in the NFL, for great quarterbacks, there's two classes. There's the first two contracts, 22 to 32. Take every penny. 32 and beyond, don't. Take a loss. Now players in the NBA and NFL have revenue streams, seven figures annually in social media. You saw the Patrick Mahomes shoe deal. Russell will get one of those. NFL players now have multiple revenue streams. This is what Drew Brees and Brady figured out. Drew Brees, first two contracts, took all the money. Should. Saints were losing. Last couple took a little less. By the way, made it up in endorsements and eventually an NBC TV deal. But he elevated his brand because he was winning. Drew Brees is not working at NBC if he's 7-9 his last 5 years. He's not. He's not getting those gigs. Kirk Cousins not getting that gig. So for quarterback, and I'm somebody, take all the money, but the world has changed for NBA stars and quarterbacks. They are now getting shoe deals. They can now make millions on Instagram. And Russell's not there yet. But if Russell's 9-8 and out of the playoffs every year because he's running for his life, or he's 12-5 and getting to the conference championship, Russell's going to walk right out of this. He'll have made $11 million less, had better teammates, made it back in shoes, made it back in Instagram. And I think he's getting very close to this because if you look at Seattle, they're going to have to pay DK Metcalf in a year. Isn't Russell better with DK Metcalf? He's certainly better with Dwayne Brown. I'm not saying to do it now. He's not there yet. But I think with Aaron Rodgers, you're getting to a point where Aaron is better taking a little less and winning games. Brady figured it out. Drew Brees figured it out. And I think the next two guys are Aaron and Russell. So I'm happy for Jamal Adams, but just know they got to get that Dwayne Brown thing and that DK Metcalf thing figured out in the next year and a half. Those fellas are going to be expensive, and those guys absolutely make Russell Wilson more viable through his endorsements, social media, make him a bigger deal. So there are times where you take a little less, you take a loss, just spend money on the car. And the minute it drives off the lot, you lost 10 grand. You just lost 10 grand. You don't want to be the guy that is always late to the meeting because your car broke down.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
So hopefully this is the last time I talk Tim Tebow for a while. I had stopped for a couple of years talking about Tim Tebow after he was released in the NFL, and then he decided to pursue baseball, and so we talked about him again. He never had a chance to make the NFL. He was now just the first guy cut by the worst roster in the NFL, trying to be a fourth-string tight end on a team that doesn't even have one great one. And that's okay. There's nothing to celebrate, really. Urban Meyer's his friend, had to let him go. Tough decision. But Drew Bledsoe, who played in the NFL, he had a brother who was a very good high school football player and a very good college football player. And he was a quarterback, and he tried to switch the tight end in his career. And Drew Bledsoe talked about it yesterday on our show.
My brother played at Colorado. He was a quarterback. And then he tried to switch to tight end one year, and he's a big, strong dude like Tim, and he's real athletic. And, but he called me about a weekend. He goes, dude, you have no idea what it's like going from playing quarterback where you get hit and so on, but to running into these athletes on a daily basis and trying to learn to block those guys, when you're not used to that and haven't grown up with it. It's an almost insurmountable challenge.
Yeah. So I'll stop talking about Tebow when he stops chasing his dreams. But he is newsworthy. And a lot of Tebow fans are absolute hypocrites. Let me ask you, if Tebow would have made the Jaguars opening day roster, you would have been outraged if I didn't acknowledge it. Hater agenda! You know you would. No, don't point fingers. Own it. You would have been outraged if I did not acknowledge he made the team. So I'm supposed to not talk about it when he's the first guy cut? He's one of the first guys in the league cut. It's like I remember liberals getting mad that the media was covering Trump when he ran for president. My takeaway was, well, he was newsworthy before he ran for president. His divorces, his bankruptcies, his casinos. So the media is not supposed to cover Trump as he runs for president? Good God, we covered Kanye West for about 2 weeks. There are certain people in America that are newsworthy. Not always great. They're not always great artists or great politicians, but they're newsworthy. That is an industry onto itself. So, like Tebow, it's almost childlike, this dreamlike pursuit. That's fine. But when you come into the league battling for a fourth tight end spot on a horrible roster, horrible by NFL standards, and you lead the NFL in merchandise, you're newsworthy. And you would have demanded we talk about it if he made the team. So therefore, when he's the first guy cut, that is newsworthy too. When Tim stops pursuing these highly unrealistic dreams, I'll stop talking about him. I stopped talking about it for 2 years until he played baseball, in which I actually thought he had a chance to make the big league team. Not long term, not to be good, but make it. Here's Urban Meyer on releasing him.
Is this the end of the road for Tim, NFL, professional football?
I would guess it is. You know, we didn't get that deep with it. Obviously, he's his own man. Elite warrior, elite competitor, but he's also 34 years old.
Just admit it. You don't like the result of this Tebow dream. You're not really bothered by the news that I talk about it because you would have demanded I talk about it had he made the team. You just don't like how it ended. And so we're in that finger-pointing era. Your fault, your fault, your fault. You just don't like the end result. But you want us to talk about him. He's just not good enough to play in this league. He's a great guy. He's not an NFL player.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it. Up on Game. We're going to be sharing our real life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up on Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
So Hard Knocks was on last night. I thought it was totally boring because the Cowboys now have a bunch of adults. And when you have adults, you're boring. And it's great news for the Cowboys. And I was thinking as I was watching Mike McCarthy, you know, he kind of wears me. He had another one of those speeches last night. I don't love McCarthy. Here we go.
We're a popular team. We're not in this for being popular. We talked about a winning culture. And the real winning comes with the play style. This wasn't our best week of practice. So let's learn from it. I want you to gear it in tonight. Let's turn this up. I'm talking about everybody. So you bring it to these guys.
A lot of swearing. It doesn't really work for me. And I thought to myself, am I too hard on Mike McCarthy? So I believe the coaches... You can put them in a bunch of groups. And so let's just do that. So there's the geniuses that they literally feel like when you go into a game, Belichick, Andy Reid, Sean Payton, and you're facing them, you as a fan think, we could get outworked here. Like they're going to trick us or fool us or they got some gadget. Belichick, Reid, Sean Payton, those are geniuses. And there's guys that are very close to geniuses because they just always win. And they win a lot. It's like Mike Tomlin, Pete Carroll, John Harbaugh. They're an inch. Like, they're just an inch from genius. Maybe not a genius, but how come they never have losing seasons? They're always winning. And then there's the young potential geniuses. They're not there yet, but boy, they're like Elon Musk right before he created SpaceX. Everybody's talking about McVay, Sean McDermott, Brian Flores, Kyle Shanahan, Matt LaFleur, Mike Vrabel, Stefanski. You're like, they're really good. Maybe one more year of it, but and then there's the, maybe not geniuses, but old dudes, they're really good. You always know your team will be prepared. Ron Rivera, Bruce Arians, Mike Zimmer, Frank Reich. Team's always prepared. And then there's the other category, and this is not good for McCarthy. Used to be geniuses. Mike McCarthy and Gruden, they don't win enough anymore. Gruden hasn't had a playoff win in what, like 18 years? I know he was gone for a while, but his last 3 years... He's like 10 games under 500. Mike McCarthy hadn't had a playoff win 5-6 years. Last 3 years, he's like 10 games under 500. That's it. McCarthy and Gruden. Why are you so hard on them? They're not winning enough. Tomlin's always winning. Harbaugh's always winning. Pete's winning. I mean, good God, look at the nonsense in Washington that Ron Rivera's had to deal with. He got him to the playoffs. Ron Rivera got that mess to the playoffs. Didn't even have a quarterback yet.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
I get a lot of heat when I'm critical of like Baker Mayfield or Jameis Winston or Cam Newton in college for their lack of maturity. I get a ton of hate mail. And Jameis Winston, I'm like, I'm not into it. You can't jump up on tables and yell things like that if you're a quarterback. If a receiver does it, if a middle linebacker does it, I don't like it. Can't do it as a quarterback. Too immature. Baker Mayfield. Don't like it. Police video. Hate it. Cam Newton. I don't like it. Big Ben early in his career. Did some stuff. Can't do it. You're a quarterback. So here's a prime example. We have four quarterback battles. I'm not going to count San Francisco. It's Garoppolo's job. He's 24-8 as a starter. Trey Lance isn't ready. Garoppolo's going to start the season. They're going to have packages for Trey Lance. That currently is not a quarterback battle. That's Garoppolo's job. There's four. Really four. Saints, Denver, New England, and Chicago. And I want you to notice they're all the exact same battle. So the Saints. Clearly, Jameis Winston is the more talented thrower of the football. He's got the better arm talent. He's a better college player than Taysom Hill. He throws a better ball. He's more productive. But it's a battle. Denver, Drew Locke is Jay Cutler. Huge arm. Really talented. Great basketball player. We know arm talent, far superior to Teddy Bridgewater. But it's a battle. New England, Cam and Mac Jones. One guy's a former MVP, 6'6", playmaker, run you over. One guy has a low ceiling, efficient. Chicago, Justin Fields, 6'3", 228, and was the third fastest human that ran with the ball this weekend. Yet, he may not start with Andy Dalton. What are the words being used? Fear, concern, worry that the more talented player will make more mistakes. Mistakes being bad judgment. Now, in Justin Fields' case, it's just youth. So it's really three of the four. But in his case, it's like, well, he's young. He's never been in these games. He could turn the ball over. I was talking to Dave Wannstedt yesterday about this. Like, all these defenses in the preseason, what you see at the line of scrimmage is what you see. Everybody's hiding all their stuff. And what does this point to? That talent has limitations. That Andy Dalton, Teddy Bridgewater, Taysom Hill, Mac Jones, significantly less talented, may start because the coaches think won't turn the ball. Turnovers equal loss in the NFL. I mean, it's almost every weekend. Who's got the fewer turnovers? So when I talk about judgment and decision-making, this is why. The four quarterback battles we have, the more talented guy is in a battle with a far less talented guy. And in all four cases, you're worried about mistakes and judgment from the more talented player. So that's why when I create, by the way, I was right on Manziel. I've been right on Winston. I was certainly right until the last seven games on Baker. It was his judgment. Baker had bad judgment until at the end of last year. Jameis, Johnny Manziel. Cam, by the way, what's always been the knock on him? From mechanics to efficiency, I always feel like there's more there and I don't see it. So that's why I'm critical of the one position in football. It's not a talent position. I mean, talent matters. It's a judgment position. And all four more talented guys, their coaches, have them in a quarterback battle as significantly better talents because they're worried about decisions and mistakes.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
We've said this before. One of the things that's really amazing about the NFL is how many players drafted late in the draft go on to be great players. Antoine Bethea, Super Bowl champ, just retired. Last team he played for was the New York Giants. He ended up going to three Pro Bowls. He was a six-round pick. Nobody offered him a Scully. He goes to Howard, and he just grinds it into a great career. He had 8 years with 100-plus tackles. That is massive production. And he wrote a book called Bet on Yourself, Inside the Mind of the Ultimate Underdog, and he's also got a podcast, the Man to Man Pod with Darius Butler, who we just had on. And again, he just 6-round pick out of Howard, 7 playoff appearances in 14 years, Antoine Bethea. Bethea, for years and years, I called him Antoine Bethea. And it's not. And he's French. And I just found that out. And he's joining us live. Antoine?
What's going on?
You're such an underdog. I called you by the wrong name for years. It's your life story.
Yeah, you're not the first or the last.
So let me just start with this because you announced your retirement after last year. And you played, I think, 16 games back in 2019 with the Giants. So let me ask you about Daniel Jones, because we got into this conversation about the Giants earlier in the show today. I love the roster. I don't love the offensive line. And Daniel Jones scares me to death. He's got a fumble problem. You tell me, as somebody who's played with the best, you played with Eli, you played with Peyton. What do you like about Daniel Jones? Why should I believe in him?
Man, I think Daniel Jones has all the intangibles, right? So, like you said, I think he does struggle with holding on to the ball. Obviously, the quarterback's coach that he's worked with in the past, worked with Peyton, worked with Eli. So, definitely that's something that he has to improve on. If that team wants to win, if that offense wants to be good, he has to protect the ball. But he's agile. He can move. He can beat you with his legs. He can beat you with his arm. He's very smart. So that's why I still have confidence in DJ. I have confidence in DJ. I think this year he will get over that hump. I hope he gets over that hump. But like you said, he does have to fix that problem as far as holding on to the ball.
All right. So when you look, Jamal Adams just got the bag.
Right.
Safeties generally in this league, not a lot, make big money. Is he worth that kind of money in a salary cap league for the Seahawks? And if so, why?
I think he is. You know, I love to see when guys get paid, right? So you see, you just had Justin Simmons get paid. You see Buda Baker get paid. And you see Jamal Adams just got paid. So what he does for that defense, what he does for the Seattle Seahawks, he's worth it. You know, if you put him in another scheme, maybe not. But what he does for that defense, what he brings to that defense, rushing the quarterback, he has, I think, 20-plus sacks. He's worth it, man, and he's a baller. You know, he's always around the ball, and he's a difference maker.
Yeah, he was on special teams in his Jets career. They put him at linebacker a lot, so he's a guy. Seattle didn't have a lot of playmakers defensively, and he certainly qualifies as that. So, you know, I was watching Hard Knocks last night, and the best compliment I could give the Cowboys, Antoine, is they're boring. And I do,
right.
I do think boring teams that do the minutia well and aren't that noisy end up being a lot of the better teams. Take me to your career with the Colts, Niners, Cardinals, Giants. Were you ever in a noisy locker room?
I was not. I was not. I think in my entire career, we was, you know, the locker rooms I was in, we were really mellow. Especially in our Colts days, you know, we went about our business as we should, and we were good. Other places, we were mellow. The records weren't as good as we were in Indy, but like you said, I think a lot of times a noisy locker room could be bad, could be detrimental, depending on the guys you have in the locker room. Obviously, you have great leadership as far as coaching staff and veteran players. You can kind of overcome that, but what you just said with the Cowboys being born, it might be a good thing for them this year.
By the way, you were on those Tony Dungy teams and those Peyton Manning teams. Those were as good as anybody in the league for about 8 years.
Right.
What was that experience like? Peyton just got into the Hall of Fame. What were those years like? What was expected of you every day?
To come to work and be a pro, right? So at an early age, as a rookie, being able to come in that building and seeing Reggie Wayne, Marvin Harrison, Peyton Manning, you seen how those guys came to work every day. So as a young cat, all I had to do was follow them, right? And then as my career went on, it was like, look, you know, I was taught by some of the best, like future Hall of Famer. So, again, it was Coach Dungy. He going to treat you like a man. I expect you to come and do your job. And as players, we run through a wall for Coach Dungy. So, again, man, it was every day come in, do your job, go home, you know, be a pros pro on the field and off the field.
You know, it's interesting. So you had Tony Dungy. Very soft-spoken, defensive guy, totally mellow. You also had Bruce Arians. He likes to party. He's got, you know, he can be crazy. Did you ever appreciate, I mean, you love Dungy. Did you appreciate Arians' style, which is the opposite of Dungy?
Of course. So we had, he was an interim head coach when Chuck Pagano, you know, went through his,
cancer situation,
cancer.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then I had a BA also when I was in Arizona, and I appreciated both. I appreciated Coach Dungy, more mellow, and then BA. You know, he was would talk trash to you. And like you said, he was very, very upbeat. But what you can say about both of those guys is that, you know, they love their players, right? They love football. And I think that's what guys respect about BA and Coach Dungy. Like, they're going to treat you like men. They're going to keep it honest with you. They're going to keep it 100 with you. And as a player, that's all you can ask for in a head coach.
So we've got a bunch of rookie quarterbacks right now. We got Zach Wilson. We got Jordan Love kind of qualifies. Justin Fields, Trey Lance, Mac Jones. So take me to your NFL career.
Right.
Go back and look at all the quarterbacks you had. What is something, as a defensive player, Antoine, what is something that if you see it from any of these young quarterbacks, let's start with a negative, that you're going to go, uh-oh, that's a bad habit or a bad sign. What's something in your career that if you saw a young quarterback get into something, maybe a habit, it may be a tendency, that is not good?
Playing the safety position, right? A lot of times you have those young quarterbacks and they stare down their targets, right? So as a safety, as a DB, as a defender, that's what you love. But, you know, on the other side, you don't want your rookie quarterback just going in and pre-snap already knowing where he's going as far as staring down receivers. So, obviously, you know, as a rookie, you can come in, the game is going to be much faster. Defensive coordinators, they're going to be scheming things up for a young quarterback, what that quarterback hasn't seen yet in the league. So it's going to be a lot of things that are going to be thrown at that rookie quarterback. But as a safety, as a defender, I would love going against rookie quarterbacks because they would tell me 90% of the time where they were going with the ball.
Okay, so now take all those young quarterbacks. What is something you will see with them and go, okay, that he's got it? That's a quality that you admired with young quarterbacks, and it was usually a sign they were going to be successful.
So I'm going to go back to the rookie quarterback when I was in Indy, Andrew Luck, right? So Andrew Luck, just the way I think the way at Stanford, he couldn't attend the OTAs in the spring, right? So he came to, I think it was a mini camp, and when he came to mini camp, he knew the whole playbook. He was moving guys. He was lining guys up. And at that time, I'm like, oh, man, this guy is special. So when a quarterback can come in and from the shoulder up, mentally he has it, that's when you know you have something special. Because a lot of these quarterbacks, they're going to be able to throw the ball. They'll be able to run. They'll be able to, you know, do a lot of stuff. But from the shoulder up, mentally, if they can have it, then you know you have something special.
By the way, you know, you played Colts, you played Niners, you played Cardinals, you played Giants. I want to talk Niners. So Garoppolo was 24-8 as a starter. Jimmy's good.
Yeah.
Okay, injury prone, but good. Trey Lance, in the last 580 days, has completed 20 passes.
Right.
I know that Trey's great. If you ran that organization, what would you do with their quarterback situation?
Jimmy G is my quarterback. I'm not rushing Trey Lance to play the position. Like you said, Jimmy G, he's injury prone, but his – record shows that he's a good quarterback in the NFL. Obviously, you draft Trey Lance for a reason. You draft him that high for a reason. But I'm not rushing him out there. Now, if it's a situation where Jimmy G, he goes in this year and he's not playing well, then the young guy, he gets his shot. But going into this first game, Jimmy G's my quarterback, and I'm rocking with him until – you know, something drastic happens.
So Jimmy G is still in his athletic prime. Andy Dalton isn't. What would you do in Chicago with a clearly more talented Justin Fields? But, I mean, Dalton's always been as good as his, you know, he's gotten to the playoffs before. In that instance, I don't know it. Dalton isn't as good as Garoppolo. What would you do if you coached the Bears? Would you go with the kid or the veteran?
I'm going with the veteran. Especially with the defense I have on that side of the ball. I know the defense is going to keep me in games, right? So, again, going with the young guy, you're going to go through some growing pains. You're going to go through some interceptions. You're going to go through some different things where Andy Dalton, he's a vet. He's seen a lot. Again, like you said, he's not as good as Jimmy G. But I just don't think personally Justin Fields is ready to take the snap on the first game. Again, this could be a situation where week six, week seven, you can put Justin Fields in the game and he could – be your number one quarterback, but starting week one, I'm going with the veteran, and I'm sticking with Andy Dalton.
So here you go. So here's a Pro Bowl safety. He's like, go with the old guys. See? He's seen all these
guys.
He's watching their eyes. What did you say to start this interview? You said 90% of the time with the rookie quarterback, you knew exactly where they were going.
Yeah. Now, you have your exceptions of the rule, right? Where a rookie quarterback comes in, he's just ahead of his time. He's ahead of that learning curve. But right now, I will stick with the veterans until, like I said, something drastic happens.
The Man-to-Man Pod with Darius Butler. Antoine, great seeing you. Congrats on all your success. And send me that book. I want to read it.
I got you, my man.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate you.
All right, good stuff.
You.